Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip, and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Today's reading is from John 13, verses 1 to 17. It can be found on page 1020 of the Church Bible. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Really good to be here with you today. I must say, this is the first time that I've been in a worship service here. And the things that most impress me are the toilets. Hey, ladies, aren't they an upgrade? Woo! I was very excited to hang in those. They were fantastic. As I said, my name's Helen. I am one of the associate ministers here at St. Barnabas, but you don't see me here because I run Church at Five, which is one of our church plants down on Strawberry Vale, which is just down the road. And I can be here today with you, this morning with you, because our church meets at guess what time? You would be surprised the amount of people who ask me what time Church at Five starts. In fact... it starts more like 5:10, if the truth be told. What is it that people come to know Jesus and they start being late? I mean, really, before, when people used to come when they didn't know Jesus, they were on time. Now they know Jesus, they're always late. So we start at 5:10. Hey, there you go, such is life. Guys, you're going to need a Bible for this. If you haven't got a Bible on your phone, just stick up your hand. One of the team would love to sprint round with a Bible for you. I'm trusting you not to go on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at this time, all right? That it's only your Bible that you're going to get out on your phone. So we are looking here today at John's Gospel. John's Gospel is my favourite Gospel. And John doesn't use words by mistake. John is very particular at the words he uses. He's very careful with the words he uses. And John here is setting the scene for us. So, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." So what John is saying to us here is, this is like the beginning of a new chapter in John. It's the beginning of the kind of end bit of John's Gospel. So what John is doing is using these words to set the scene about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And if you notice, he kind of plants it in a timeline for us, what is about to happen. He says, just before the Passover. Now, this is really important. Again, it's not just a kind of throwaway thing. This is really important because Jesus was going to become the Passover lamb. He was going to become the pure, spotless lamb who was going to carry the whole sin of the community. And so that's important to John there, that actually he mentions to us when this happened. Is it not happening again? Where should I be waving it? Over there. No, still not working. No, I know, it's the blodger. Well done. Did you do that or did I do that? Well done. Excellent. Can't do away with people. Can't go to automated systems. Otherwise, it doesn't work. That's it, Dave. Just stand there with it in your hand at the back. It'll work fine. It's like the old days with the aerial, isn't it? Standing there trying to get a picture. Anyhow, showing my age there. So let's go back to our passage and let's go back to verse 3. So, verse 3 says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God." So what we're hearing there from John is that Jesus knew who he was. He knew whose authority he had. He knew his identity and he was secure in his identity. But do those words ring a bell in something other that John said? Let me just read those again, see, and just think, oh, have I heard something like this before from John? When he says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God." Ring any bells? You can shout out. Normally at church at 5, I'd be being fully heckled by this point, so you can make me feel at home. Does that ring any bells from something else John said? Go on. Somebody have a guess, have a stab. A little bit further on in John, even right at the beginning of John. Yeah? "In the beginning was the Word." Why not turn with me to John 1? See, John is reflecting back here about who Jesus really is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning." So Jesus knew who he was. He knew whose authority he had, and he was secure in that. And that was what enabled, actually, him to serve in the way he did in that moment. But that was what enabled him to go to the cross and to stay on the cross. So verse 4 says, so he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. Now, we all know what he was about to do. Do you want to go on to the next slide? That'd be great. We all know what he was about to do at that point. He was about to get up and wash their feet. But has it ever struck you that was a really odd thing to do? You know, this is in the middle of a meal that Jesus is getting up and doing this. So, like, when you come to my house, I take your coat for you and I offer you a cup of tea. You don't kind of in the middle of a meal when people have been there forever in a day say, oh, can I take your coat and give you a cup of tea? And that's what Jesus was doing it because it was in the middle of this meal that he does something that should have been done right at the beginning. Because when you came into somebody's house, they didn't have beautiful pavements and potholed roads like we have. They had dusty roads, and there was all sorts on their roads, and so your feet would have been really, really dirty. And so it was the servant's job, the lowliest person's job, to actually wash all that muck off your feet. And they did that at the beginning of the meal and not halfway through it. And so when Jesus gets up, he's doing something really quite unusual here. And because he doesn't want people to miss the point, he wants people to get it. And then it says that he takes off his outer garments. He lays aside his majesty, like he's done so many times before. He takes off his outer garments, just like he's about to do on the cross, we read later on, when he was stripped from those outer garments. It's an echo of what is to come. But he does that willingly. And then you get this most intimate of moments happening. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel wrapped around him. Now, you guys are my friends, but I really wouldn't want you to see my feet. My toenails aren't in great condition at the moment, and I haven't exfoliated forever and a day. And it's quite an intimate thing, isn't it? Touching somebody's feet. And yet here you get a picture of Jesus tenderly and intimately washing the disciples' feet. And one of the things that struck me about it as well was actually it says that he used the towel which was around his waist to dry them. That means proximity. That means closeness to Jesus. Unless it was the world's biggest towel, you know, they would have been really close to him. How would that have felt to them? Not only is he washing their feet, but actually he's up close and personal with them. Maybe invading their space a little. I wonder how we feel when by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes up close and personal to us. Maybe sometimes during the worship we feel a little uncomfortable because Jesus is up close and personal. It's what the disciples would have felt at that moment. And then Peter, big mouth that he is, goes on and says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And the answer to that was, yes. I mean, it was obvious, wasn't it? He'd already started washing the disciples' feet. You know, were Simon Peter's feet that disgusting that Jesus weren't going to touch them? Was he overly calloused? Is he not moisturised forever and a day on his feet? You know, I think this wasn't just a physical thing. This was a spiritual thing going on. You know, that sense of shame, when we sometimes, when Jesus comes close to us, we see the rubbish, we see the dirt, and we start to feel shameful instead of looking at the one who can clean that stuff off us. And I think that's what Peter was feeling at that moment. You know, oh, are you going to wash my feet, Jesus? You know, Jesus was coming up close and personal to him. And he was going, oh, this mess, this mess, this mess. Do we feel that sometimes when we come up close and personal in worship, in prayer, when we read the Bible and we go, oh, this mess, this mess? Then this odd conversation starts. Jesus replied, Do you not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Friends, we have to let Jesus wash us if we want to be a part of him. We are not able to save ourselves. We are not able to clean up ourselves. We are not able to clean up the mess we've made. Only Jesus can do that for us. And actually, he's saying to Peter here, Peter, if you want to be part of me, part of my kingdom, if you want me to save you, then you have to let me wash you. He was talking about what was to come. And why did Peter so adamantly say no? Part of it may have been he wanted to sort his own crap out. We all have a tendency to want to do that, don't we? You know, present ourselves beautifully clean to God. There's no way you can do that. Give up. If that's what you're trying to do, let him do it. That's what he's in the business of doing. But I think there was something else going on there. I think that Peter was deeply uncomfortable that this, what he thought was a military Messiah, the Messiah that would come and that would beat the Romans and kick them out, that this military Messiah was lowering himself and becoming the servant king. Which kind of Messiah do you serve? The military Messiah that will come in and put all things right? Or the servant king who will walk with us through the dark times, through the difficult times, who won't shy away from them? And then we get Peter's passion, don't we? I love Peter. I think he's great. You know, he is the Peter, the passionate one. He kind of, you know, when Jesus came walking on the water, it was Peter who got out of the boat. The others may have gone, ha, 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 he's sinking. But at least he got out of the boat and the others didn't. It was his passion that did that. And then there he is offering to build shelters up the mountains, getting it wrong, trying to do something, wanting to do something. And then you see him later on, don't you, just trying to protect Jesus by lashing out and cutting off the servant's ear. But here you see and you hear Peter's passion as he says, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. He kind of gets it, doesn't he? But Jesus says to him, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And friends, that was true about Peter because of what Jesus was about to do for him on the cross. And it's true for us. That's why we have one baptism. That's why not every time we get the baptism tank out do we all need to leap in it again. Because actually Jesus has washed us and made us clean. And it's only our hands and our feet that get dirty. And yes, we have to come to him regularly and ask him to clean us. But we are clean because what Jesus has done for us. We are saints and not sinners. We are saints that sometimes sin, not sinners who sometimes get it right. You know, the transition has been done on the cross. It means that if you accept him and you accept his washing of you, you are now a saint and not a sinner. And then John goes on to say, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So Jesus, the teacher, the Lord, the rabbi, puts down his social rights to become a servant and do the lowliest thing that you could do, which was wash crap off people's feet. How often are we prepared to put down our social rights to serve? Now, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just the only one, but do you know, sometimes when I'm doing something that I really don't want to do, I have thoughts like, really, should I be doing this? Is there somebody else who should be doing this? You know, am I the only one who ever thinks like that? Or do other people think like that too occasionally? Yeah, we all have those little things going on in our minds. But we are called to put down our social rights of who we are and pick up the towel of the servant. He goes on to say, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. What he's saying here to us is, we are all saints, but we occasionally sin. And because of that fallenness in humanity, we even sometimes get proud of serving. Oh, look what I just did. If everybody just saw what I did, can you see me serving here? Can you see me serving there? Let me put it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. This is what I've done for the Lord. This is what I've done for the people. We start to get proud even when we serve. But he's saying, we're not greater than our master. Let's get our perspective right on this. Let's put ourselves in the right position. We're the messenger, not the one who sent the message. We're the student, not the teacher. I love, though, how John finishes this and says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And it's easy to know that we serve a servant king. We even sing songs about it, don't we? But do we actually do it? Do we actually follow that pattern in our lives, the pattern that Jesus showed us and taught us? I just want to bring three quick things, because I know we've had a bit of a packed service, quick things out of this for us. And firstly, if you want to follow the master, if you want to become like Jesus, then you need to know who you are. You will not be able to serve. You will not be able to take off your outer garment unless you are secure in who you are. Unless you know truly that you are a child of the King and that you hold his authority, that you are a saint, that you are a dearly loved one, that the King of heaven loved you so much that he left the glory and splendor of heaven and came down for you. And that he died for you. And it's knowing that and it's having that as your identity that allows you to serve. If you don't know that, you will not be able to take off your outer garment and just serve selflessly and serve sacrificially. You will not be able to put down your social rights and your position in life and serve others who are more lowly than you. So today, do you know that? Those words that I just spoke, do you know that's who you are? The words are up on the screen. It's who you are. If you don't, we're going to pray for that later. The next thing I just want to say to you is let Jesus clean you up. Now, I know we're in a church, but not everybody here knows Jesus yet, which is fantastic that we can come to church and we can have a look at what Jesus says. We can have a look at Christianity, what it might mean to be a Christian. It's great. I love churches like St. Bees where we can do that. So if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your saviour, if you haven't asked him to wash you clean of all your sin and all your rubbish, then why don't you do it today? You know, sometimes we just try and do it ourselves, don't we? We want to wash ourselves. We want to get ourselves right so that we can present ourselves beautifully clean and right to God. That is not our job. That is Jesus' job. That's what he does. So you can come as you are in all your muddle, in all your mess, with all your stuff that you're just so glad that everybody else here doesn't know about. You can come with all of that and you can bring that all to Jesus and he will wash it all away. You can't do it. He can do it. If you could do it, why would he have died on the cross? There would be no point to it. So for some of you today, you need to let Jesus wash you and make you clean again. Because it's only he that can do that. And thirdly, will you serve sacrificially? Now, this isn't about doing the nice showy jobs. And somebody will probably shoot me in the foot here when I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. So Henry and Colin aren't around, so it's all good. It's only Chris and me, so it's all fine. Do you know, me being up here today is not serving. Because this is what I am called to do. I have a calling. That's how God has made me. So I am just fulfilling my calling. Now, when I clean the toilets at the Green Man because somebody's made an awful mess of them or wash the floor every Sunday, that's not my calling to do that. That's service. It's doing those things that nobody else wants to do that I've got to roll my sleeves up and do it because I serve a serving King. And so I want to kind of question is, are you serving or are you just doing things that you're called to do? And I just want to encourage you, in a church like St. Bees, in a big church like St. Bees, you have an opportunity to fulfill all that God has called you to in amazing ways that you perhaps wouldn't do in a smaller church, because there's such a smorgasbord of things that you can get involved with. And if you're not fulfilling your calling, shame on you. Really, shame on you. If you've not stepped forward to do all that God has called you to, how do you think he's going to bless you? If you're not doing the thing, the small thing that he's called you to, how is he going to give you more? God has given you a calling and he's given you a ministry to do. And everyone here has a ministry to do. And you should be stepping up into it and doing that. And then God will open the doors to amazing things that you may not have ever even thought about. So we're not talking about calling here, things that I feel called to. None of us feel called to mopping floors, cleaning toilets, going and visiting people who are really, really annoying. You know, that's not calling, it's service. So we're talking about serving here. So it's about doing those things that you really wish somebody else would say, I'll do that. You know, it's doing those little, those annoying, those messy things that in the ancient world that actually probably the servants would have done. But it's not just doing them. It's doing them with a good heart and a good attitude. When I married my husband, Mark, both of us worked. So we shared childcare, we shared housework, we shared just shared life. And then Mark became disabled and he wasn't able to work. So I was the only one working and he wasn't able to do any of the house stuff and home stuff. So I was left with the cooking, cleaning, washing, etc. And I have to get up at silly o'clock in the morning to do it. I have the privilege of seeing the sun rise every morning. And, but you know, on a good day, that service, you don't see me doing that. You don't see me washing my floors and hoovering and doing the kids' washing. It's not an upfront thing. It's not part of my calling. I definitely don't feel called at 5 o'clock in the morning to be doing the hoovering, and probably nor do the neighbours think that. But there are times I need to confess to you when I do it in bad grace and with a poor attitude of heart. And then it's not service to anybody. You know, it's not service to anybody. It's not service to my kids. It's not service to my husband. It's not service to the Lord if I do it with a grumbling heart. So actually our attitude in this is really important. So will we lay down our lives for the service of God and the world that he came to save? And I want to kind of leave you with a challenge. A one a day challenge. Will you once every day this week do an act of service? Once a day this week do an act of service for somebody maybe who doesn't deserve it. Maybe do an act of service of something that you really don't like doing that you wish somebody else would do. An act of service that is done in humility with a right heart attitude. My prayer for us this week is that the Holy Spirit would really prompt us as we do that, as we go to seek and serve. Let me finish with a quote from a wonderful man. The Catholic Church did well when they made him Pope and put that smoke up. They did really well. He's a good guy. The world tells us to seek power and money. God tells us to seek humility, service, and love.